A unit this month, Jesus displaying authority, a lesson. It's found in Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13 is what we will be looking at. We will examine as a lesson titled Far-Reaching Authority, what that entails. This particular passage of Scripture is recorded to show us something. One of the things, especially in a community like this, we have a lot of military folk that are members of this church. And as we will see in the passages before us, that military folk understand authority. They understand authority. And so it may be one of the reasons why Resurrection has run as well as it has through the years is because God placed us in a community of military folk who really understand authority. That can be difficult, but they understand it. I would suggest to all of you that the reason why there is so much chaos in the world is that people have forgot authority. They forgot it because they don't respect it. And when you find people not respecting authority, it's simply because they may have heard of authority. They may have even been an authority. But whenever there is chaos, somebody is not adhering to authority. What we're going to see today, Sister Jones, is how Jesus responds in authority and how the centurion responds to authority. The centurion, a professional soldier, someone who knows what authority and command is all about. We see this placed in here to show us the far-reaching the far-reaching impact of authority. That's the best way I can. In other words, authority can be far-reaching. Authority can be broad. Authority can affect a lot of people in a lot of places. In the passage of Scripture today, it is unique in that Jesus has established his ministry and is going about doing Christocentric ministry. He's shown us how to do ministry in the churchocentric age. And then after healing a person with leprosy, after calming a storm-driven sea, this particular passage is found here in the 8th chapter, the 5th verse, beginning the 5th verse of Matthew, and in the 7th chapter, verses 1 through 10 of Luke, about an incident that occurred that shows or demonstrated the authority that Jesus had. Now, I know I'm in the right place, and I know many of you would not have to turn to it, but someone over in Matthew chapter 20, what would it be? 28, chapter 28, verse 18. I want you to read something. Anybody? Chapter 28, verse
18. Then Jesus came to them and said.
Then Jesus came to them, and this is what Jesus said. All authority.
Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.
Now, did anybody hear what I asked? And can anybody tell me what the response was? All right, first, what did I ask? Huh? Bren, please, hurry, quickly, because I got to go. Yeah, chapter 28? Verse, what?
18.
Oh, okay. You sure now? That's what I asked. Chapter 28, verse 18. Tell me the response.
I read 19 also. I went further. I gave you more than your money asked for. So I can't complain.
You know what? What's very interesting is that you can't get close to Jesus' stated authority and then not do what his authority says. Y'all, I'm messing with y'all this morning because I know what happened. I didn't speak in my command voice. That's what it was. And so the command wasn't clear. And you have to have clarity in your command in order if you expect to obey. It wasn't that Sister Trellis ignored the authority, you know, because then, you know, she could have kept reading. She could have read the whole Bible. And then we would have missed out on divine revelation. But the issue was she was asked to read 28 and 18. And just by me asking, she began to read. Okay? Now, that's very interesting because I happen to know Sister Young, and she is a retired military officer. She knows command. She knows order. She knows structure. Okay? And so she understands authority. And as a matter of fact, if I was to ask many of you that are in the audience, you would stand and say, yeah, I understand it. What happens when you are asked to do something by someone you don't care for? How many of you have been in the military? No, have not been in the military. Have not. Raise your hand over there. The thing real high. All right. Because I heard his answer. You see all them people that raise their hand that say they were in the military? You know what they said? No, yeah, but I'm saying the ones that were, and then the ones that were not. So the ones that were not, they raised their hand. But the ones that were in the military, they knew one thing. You get a command, you're going to do it, whether you like them or not. You know why? They have authority. See, you don't obey folk because you like them. That is the issue here. Because Jesus is confronted by someone who, by all today's standards, shouldn't like each other. Read verse 5 and 6 for me right quick. There's a couple of enigmas in these verses here, Bud. First of all, a centurion, soldier, occupying Capernaum, don't care nothing for Jews. And guess what? It's reciprocated. They don't like them, and them don't like they. They don't like each other. But here is a centurion. Now, a centurion was a commander. He was a professional soldier, normally promoted up out of the ranks. Y'all watch 300. You know, this was he was basically a plebeian a conscript that served, and he got a little, they promoted him, and he became a professional soldier. And boy, was he a professional. You talking about Sergeant Major, Chief Master Sergeant. He was that and much more. You're talking about colonel and general, he was much more than that. He commanded just 100 men out of a legion of 6,000. So that meant that there were only 60 of them in the 6,000 men. They were tough. Nobody messed with them. You're going to hear his testimony here in a minute. He seems to have it all going on, Sister Gibbs. He's got it. He can do anything he wants to do, except he's got a problem. And the first thing that this right here should tell you, you can have all the authority in the world. If you don't have the authority over the right thing, you can't get some things done. Oh, it's a whole bunch of y'all bad. Y'all bad. Y'all tough. You know, you got all kinds. You got colonels. You got generals. You got chief master sergeants, sergeant majors. You know, you got first sergeants. You got lieutenant colonels. You know, you got majors and But there's some things y'all can't get done. There's some things you can't get done. But the centurion, who has all this authority, has a need also that he can't satisfy. So do you know what he did? He went to the supreme allied commander. Because he knows one thing. If I can't take care of it, the commander can. And you got to believe in the authority. Here's what he really, he's talking about, normally in the military, we're looking at, we know what the commander can do, so we say, if we can't do it, you don't listen to me, we'll go to the commander. Commander, get it done. But this is very unique, because this guy right here, he's not going to him because what he thinks he can do. He's going to it based on knowledge. Yeah. Y'all don't hear me? That's real important. And the object of his request is somebody who can do something about the situation that he's in. Because he has some authority, but he doesn't have authority over disease. And he has heard that Jesus calmed the seas. He went to a wedding, turned it out, made it a real party. You know, he calmed seas. He just cured leprosy. And if you read Luke's account, Luke says he dispatched. Because a commander, you know, he normally have people that speak for him. You know, in the Air Force, they used to call it OI when I was in. I don't know what they call it now. What they call it? Information office? What they call it now? They still call it the information office? They don't have it no more? So wonder we in chaos. We ain't got nobody speaking. Oh, man. Oh, I'm going to do this thing here, Jim. Oh, I got this now. The issue is unexpressed authority is ignored authority. Maybe that's why we have chaos. People aren't talking. People don't know. Let me show you one thing. How did this centurion know that Jesus had the authority to do what he was requesting him to do? You know how he knew? Somebody was talking. By word. This man had heard the word. Oh, come here, Paul. Paul says, now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This man heard some word, and he realized, I'm in a situation that I don't have authority over my situation, so I'm going to the one who can deal with my issue. Who has the authority. Jesus ain't never met this man. But yet his authority has impact. Some of y'all never met y'all commanding officer. Never met him. He was at the headquarters. You down at the base. Never met him. But you heard his words. Through Air Force supplements, Army regulation, whatever, you heard his words. And you know what? You're going to do his words. Because you know why? Because he's an authority. How do I send someone PCS? Oh, go to the word. I have the authority to send this person TDY. You have that authority. I have authority to tell you to adjust your uniform. A tinch hot. See, y'all laugh because you said that sure was a tinch hot. And if I said a tinch hot, word. Now, heaven, pray, heart. Heaven, pray, heart. Look at him, Mark. Heaven, pray, heart. I'm tired. I digress. Lord, I can't do anything about my situation. I got a situation I can't deal with. Lord, Master, Lord, you're the one that can do something about my situation. I've come to you. I beseech you, help me. I have a servant that I am very fond of, a young servant boy that is sick, tormented. I need help. Listen to how Jesus responds to a man of authority. But don't focus there too long. Verse 7. Did you hear what Jesus just said? I will come. I will heal him. Now, is he responding to the centurion who got 100 men that, and let me tell you, they do, you will hear him say in a few minutes, they do exactly what he said do. No. Jesus is responding in authority to the authority that the centurion believes in. Jesus says, I can only do what I do. So I will heal and I will come. I will heal and I will come. You got a problem? I'll come and see about you. There is some sort of rapport that is instantly developed between these two men of authority. But notice that the first sergeant doesn't tell the colonel here what to do. He makes a request. He didn't say, I want you right now, by the authority invested in me, to come and heal my servant. He said, Lord, I got a need. And you can fulfill. You can meet that need. And Jesus says, I'll come. Verse 8 is so remarkable. It will blow your socks off. Because here Jesus is. He done started his ministry. He's just doing great things. He's healing the sick. He's calming seas. Again, making wine at parties. Listen to what the centurion says to Jesus. Verse 8. First of all, I want to show you faith. Amen. He wasn't coming by his authority. He was coming by the faith in the one who possessed the authority. He believed Jesus. First of all, he believed who he is. And if you believe who he is, you know what he can do. I'm going to say that one more time. If you believe, if you truly believe who he is, you know what he can do. And what he can do is take care of anything you can't do. You know what you can do. You know exactly where the boundaries of your authority lie. But when something is outside your boundary, what do you do? Lord, I'm not worthy. You know what he's saying? Lord, I ain't nothing but a sinner. I confess. In other words, Lord, that word worthy there is insufficient. I'm insufficient. I can't do what I really want to do. And he says, I'm definitely not worthy to have you, a holy man. I know who you are. I know exactly who you are. And you don't have to come to my house. I believe that if you just speak the word, by your authority, by the authority that is vested in you, my servant will be healed. Y'all still don't get me. Here's a man of authority. Here's a man that can could snap Jesus' head off. Right now, have it cut off and never raise a hand. All he had to do was speak a word. But he couldn't speak the words of salvation for his dearly loved servant. Amen. In other words, he couldn't speak the words that would save his servant. But he could speak to the one who could speak a word. And I know what I'm talking about. Because this particular passage right here, where I said to the boy, we always think that you got to go get somebody. Go get my deacon. Go get Pastor Brown and have them pray. You know, have them come and lay hands on my beloved. But wait a minute. This centurion, this person of authority, this person who is a professional soldier, he hasn't spent his life saving lives. He's been spent his life knocking heads of those who want to lose their life because they don't want to act right. That's his whole job. And as a matter of fact, he says, if you just speak the word, my servant shall be healed. Notice this man of power was not looking for additional power. He didn't ask for himself. He said, you speak the word, and my servant will be healed. But let me tell you one thing. A lot of times when we don't pray those selfish prayers, the prayer is really meant for us. Because I'm going to tell you, this centurion got healed that day. He got healed. He got a salvicted healing. The servant might have received a physical healing, but he got a salvicted healing. He got confirmation that the one that he trusted is able to do exactly what he said he would do. But it's not only that. He says, Lord, don't come to my house. You don't have to be present. And I don't have to be present for my servant to get healed back in the house. Now, we can stay right out here. He says, I don't know how you do it. He says, because if I knew how you would do it, I'd exercise my authority. But I trust you that if you just stay right here and speak the word, that somehow that word will operate on remote control, Wi-Fi. You ain't got to go in the house. You ain't got to touch. We ain't got to touch and agree. I believe in your authority. By the power that is invested in you, I ask you right now, heal my servant. And Lord, before you answer me again on whether or not you're going to come, let me tell you why I believe what I believe. And see, he was saying it to the Lord, but he was really speaking to us. He was telling us, he says, here's how I know that you can heal my servant. Because I too have authority. I know what it means to have authority. I know that when I have soldiers under me, I say to one soldier, go. And what does he do?
Go.
I say to one soldier, come. And what does he do?
Come.
I say one soldier, do. And what does he do?
Do.
He said, you see, I know how to get people's attention. And I know what I can make people do because of my authority. But you have your authority not because of what you can do, but because of who you are. I told y'all, we right back to that. Unless you understand who Jesus Christ is, you don't understand his authority. You think he's a mere man? You think he's a mere man that just came down here as a man, you know, whipped up like a man and died? If he's just a man, why are you and I in family church school? Because this mere man, let me tell you what this mere man said in your estimation. No man cometh to the Father except by me. I and the Father are one. You got to know who Jesus is. If I and the Father are one, that means that I made everything. That means I sovereignly rule over everything. In order to have rulership, you got to have authority. And Charlie's read it for us. All authority has been given to him. This is before he was resurrected. And matter of fact, Jesus is just operating on some authority right now. In this particular case, hey, heal his son. Heal his servant, rather. And I know you don't have to be there. You just speak the word. Just speak the word. Your word is so powerful. And your word is so powerful because you are your word. Y'all knew I was going to throw that one in there. That's just for real. The word, God's word, and the word are the same. And he says, you just speak that word and by authority. Do you realize you need authority to do almost anything in life? You can't even get married without authority. Not in my, I hear you. You know what? We always got some skeptic. You know, nah. All you got to do is live together for 6 months and you can be. That's what they're going to tell me, Phyllis. But tell me one thing. If you don't live together 6 months, can you call yourself man and wife? In any state. We'll talk strictly Texas. No. We do have in Texas what they call common law. Common law is backed up by authority. So you can talk all you want to. Oh, well, we's be married now. But the state says, okay, wait a minute, show me your license. Ain't got no license. Show me where you live together for at least 6 months and cohabitated with the same bills, consolidated bills. Oh, we don't have that. You ain't married. When you fulfill that requirement, by the authority that's invested in the state of Texas, then we'd be calling you married. So he understood authority. He understood who you need to go to get authority. But he knew it wasn't just the name. I know, because some of you got the shouting on just the name. It was Jesus is the name. But guess what? Names and titles will fool you. You ever seen them people go to an organization? They got a title so long they need two. They need two. They need two. What they call them things on their desk? Nameplates. They need two. Long title. And then you find out that's just a fancy name for the guy who holds the books for the commander. He ain't got no authority. Stories told. Jim, there was a guy in the TAC, for those of you who've been in TAC for any time, there was a guy, we call him Wilt Wilson. He was on the IG team, Terry. And Wilt, he was known to fire commanders. Oh, he fired him on the spot, Fred. He didn't, on the spot, don't go back to the barracks, get on a plane, go wherever you need to go, send for your wife, your family later, but you ain't staying on this base. You don't know nothing. Well, they tell the story that he goes in and he's talking and he's inspecting, he has, you know, he talks to this lieutenant colonel, and he's talking to an Air Force E-8, and so he asked the lieutenant colonel, what about such and such and such and such? And lieutenant colonel turned to the E-8 and said, well, what can we do such and such and such? And the E-8 said, no, we can't do it. He turned around. He asked the lieutenant colonel again, what can we do, son? Let me ask the E-8. So Wilt is reported to have grabbed the chevron off his shoulder and the stripes off of his sleeve, and he switched. Because Wilt says, I only talk to people that are in authority. I ain't talking about who perpetrating a fraud. Talking to somebody who can do something, who can say something, who can answer something. When Jesus heard this, he what? Does anybody know what Marvel is? We're not talking about Captain Marvel here. And I'm going to tell you, I'm shocked by the verse. Because it says, Jesus Marvel. Jesus said, whoa! And he said to them that followed, verily, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. The reason why this verse is so powerful and has such far-reaching impact is that he is saying this to and about a non-Jew, a Gentile, somebody that wasn't in the church. You got to keep that fact in mind because of what else he's going to say. And this particular accolade that Jesus lays on this centurion, this professional soldier, it wasn't laid on the priest, you know, the prophet, the potentate, you know, one of the disciples. This was laid on a guy who was a professional soldier. But let me tell you something about this professional soldier now. He's a Roman soldier, but the Jews liked him. Because as a matter of fact, Luke explains this encounter as they came on his behalf with him. That spokesman that I inferred a few minutes ago, they came and said, Jesus, do this for us because this is a good man. He built us a synagogue, you know. So he was a friend of the Jews. And as a matter of fact, this is how he heard. Because he built that synagogue, and he probably tipped in there every now and then. And he heard. And just the word, the little word that he heard, was enough for him to believe in the word himself. And Jesus says, wow, in all of Israel, I have not found such great faith. Do you realize that's only stated in the Bible twice? And no one to Abraham. It wasn't him. And Abraham is considered the father of faith. Only two times. And they were both to Gentiles. One man, the centurion, and a girl, no, a Syrophoenician woman, whose daughter was dying. This Syrophoenician woman, a woman of multi-ethnicity. She was called a Canaanite, but she was a mixture of many cultures. She came and she asked Jesus the same thing that the centurion asked him. And you know what Jesus said? First he said nothing. He said not a word. The Lord, please help me. My daughter's vexed and died. Jesus ain't said a word. Did you hear me, Jesus? I said it. He said, oh, let me tell you. I came to save but the lost out of Israel, the lost sheep of Israel. Ain't come to save you multinational folk. Ain't come to save you Gentile. As a matter of fact, you dogs are not worthy. Do you know what this woman said? Jesus, let me tell you one thing. I realize you potentate and all that, but you don't understand one thing. You just said, bud, this is exactly what she said. She said, let me tell you one thing. I know who you are. You're the master. But even a dog gets the crumbs from the master's table. And do you know what Jesus said? Wow. In all of Israel, I have not seen such great faith. Only two times. Wasn't talking to the people in the church. These were people outside the church. Because Jesus didn't come to save the saved. Came to save the lost. All you church folk went around church all your life, still don't know who he is? Jesus got something for you in the next verse. But he says right now, I've never seen such great faith. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east, somebody say east, and the west, and shall what? Because the gospel, because my word will have such far-reaching impact, because of its authority, many from the east and the west will be at the table. Many of the folk that you thought were not going to be in the kingdom will be in the kingdom. Many other folk. See, that's how we got here. You can't read this word and talk about, oh yeah, you know, that's right. This is for he's talking to the Jews only, so this promise is not for us. The last time I checked, Paul wrote, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. You know who the Greek be? That be me and you. Alpha and Omega. I'm sorry. But Jesus says, they're going to be there. People you think won't be in the kingdom will be in the kingdom. But look at verse 12. People who thought they were in church. People who thought they should be at the table. People who thought they would be in the kingdom going to be cast out. You know why? Because they didn't know me. And you know how I know they didn't know me? Jesus says they didn't recognize my authority. Because when you recognize the authority of Jesus, you'll be in the kingdom. But you can't recognize the authority if you don't know who he is. Y'all don't understand me. I mean, we're talking about Jesus, the God-man, 100% God, 100% man. Homorusha padre, homorusha compadre, very God and very man, all at the same time. And once you know that, you know what he can do. And you can pretend, you can front, all you want to. Yeah, I be in the church. I'm glad you are. But you be down there gnashing teeth and hollering. Because Jesus will say to you exactly what he said. He says, but there will come a time when I will tell you, get out of my face, because I know you're not. Right there. You better recognize who he is and recognize his authority and understand that his authority is far-reaching. Jesus the Christ spoke words on the Sea of Galilee and the plains of Jerusalem that are affecting you and I today. That's impact. That's far-reaching. And see, his word is the authority. Y'all don't have to believe me. Matter of fact, don't. But I told you a couple of weeks ago, if I tell you a mosquito can pull a plow, hitch him up. But guarantee you, this word right here, if this word tells you mosquito can pull a plow, you better hook him up. And so you best go to Matthew 28:19-20 that says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. In other words, go ye therefore and spread the word, and that word will have impact. Because not only will you baptize them, you will identify them with the church. Not only will you identify them with the church and teach them the salvation process, but you'll teach them how to live saved. Because verse 20 says, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. And because Jesus, and I know that by his authority. In other words, Sister Young read for you, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Then he said, go. In other words, raise your hand like this. By the power invested in me, I commission you right now to go. That's what he says. He's saying, I'm deputizing you right now. He says, and I have all the authority. That authority is far-reaching. That authority is going to touch people over in Alabama, Mexico, Canada, Tennessee, Israel, Russia, because it's having that effect. And it's all based on his authority. And you're wondering, oh, I sure wish I had that kind of authority. You do, because you've been deputized. The deputy can arrest you just like the sheriff. The deputy doesn't get you and hold you till the sheriff gets there. The deputy will arrest you and take you to jail. You know why? He's been given the authority. And you will say, well, how? Well, I have to run over to Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, wait a minute, Brother Sneed. I thought you were talking about deputies. You see, in Acts 1:8, he's talking about power, dunamis, dynamite. He's talking about the gun. He's talking about the ability. But over in Matthew 28:18, he's talking about the gun and the backing. In other words, the criminal got a gun, You got and the police got a gun. But the criminals doesn't have what the police have. The police has the backing of all the people in that community. Because the criminal, he robbed a bank. The criminal can even shoot the police. Guess what? We are going to deputize some more people. We'll elect a new sheriff real quick, chief of police, and send them to go down there and get our money that you stole out of sheriff's bank. Because the policeman's got both power and authority. And Jesus says he has it all. The centurion says, you got all. I know who you are. If I could do something about this, I would do it. I ain't got no authority over this. But Jesus, would you exercise your authority and heal my servant? Listen to the rewards of responding positively to authority. Verse 13, all together as we go.
And Jesus said unto the centurion, go that way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the same hour.
The last time I checked, unless it took the centurion an hour to get home, unless he got home within that hour, he was still on his way when the servant got healed. All because Jesus says, you've tapped into your power source. You've come to the right person. Folk, let me tell you one thing. Stop taking your problems to people who don't have the authority to do anything. You coming to me crying about a banknote that you owe, It ain't nothing I can do for you. It ain't nothing. I would love to do something for you. Because let me tell you one thing. With you guys living so large, I can't even give you what you need. And I certainly can't persuade that banker. Now, you know, maybe some of y'all got that kind of persuasion. But I believe in one who can break that door down. I believe in one who can meet my needs no matter what. I believe in somebody who has the authority to go in there and tell that bank to give you. We were listening. Who was that with me? I don't see. Who was with me doing an institute this week? Brother Newsom. His brother said, wait a minute. They tried to get a $5 million loan to purchase a piece of property. You know what they told him? You already overstanding. We ain't giving you no money. The man said, I know I'm overextended, but go on and talk to the board anyway. And you know what happened? They talked to the credit committee, Sister Jones. And you know what they told the man? You know what? There's a realtor over at such and such. You need to go talk to her. He wouldn't talk to her. And after he got through talking to her, they not only got the land for less than $5 million, considerably less, like $2.1 million. They that were overextended got the loan for the $2 million too. You know why? They talked to the right authority. Because as Pastor Cofield said, let me tell you one thing. I asked the man, because they are the actors. But I went to their commanding officer, Jesus the Christ, who made everything. Who owns everything, who owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills, and I told him, Lord, you know what you told me to do with this property. Now, if you don't come through, it's on you. We done gave, we given to the poor, and we've done our part. So we're coming to you on authority. And you know what Jesus said? You know, yeah, you're right. You have given to us. You have given to the poor. This is me now. Proverbs 19:17. That I had y'all read last week? And didn't it say, anything you give to the poor, God considered a loan to him and he'll pay back in full? Oh, y'all better shout. Because you're going to the wrong source for authority. Jesus has all authority because that authority is far-reaching. It impacts our lives. Let it impact your life every day. Let us be prepared to examine authority just a little bit more next week. Same time, same station.